I'm outside. Not far from the front door, not yet. But I am out and I am alone. When I woke up this morning, I didn't think today would be the day. It didn't feel right, or rather I didn't. Vivian's phone call persuaded me. Believe me, you'll never be ready, she said. You have to take the plunge. And she's right. I do. I have to do this. I walk across the cobbled yard and down the mud and gravel path, carrying only my handbag. I feel light and strange. The trees look as if they're knitted from bright wools, reds and browns and the occasional green. The sky is the colour of wet slate. This is not the same ordinary world that I used to walk around in. Everything is more vivid, as if the physical backdrop I once took for granted is clamouring for my attention. My car is parked at the far end of the path, in front of the gate that separates the elms from the main road. I'm not supposed to drive. Nonsense! Vivian dismissed this piece of medical advice with a loud tut. It's not far. If you followed all those silly rules these days, you'd be terrified to do anything. I do feel ready to drive, though only just. I have recovered reasonably well from the operation. This could be thanks to the Hypericum that I prescribe for myself. Or maybe it's mind over matter. I need to be strong, therefore I am. I turn the key in the ignition and press my right foot down hard on the gas pedal. The car splutters awake. I turn onto the road and watch my speed rise steadily. 0 to 60 in half an hour, my dad used to joke, when the Volvo was still his and Mum's. I will drive this car until it falls to pieces. It reminds me of my parents in a way that nothing else ever could. I feel as if it is an old, loyal member of my family who remembers Mum and Dad as lovingly as I do. I wind down the window, inhale some of the fresh air that hits me in the face, and think that it will take many more horror stories of gridlock before people stop associating cars with freedom. As I hurtle along the almost empty road, past fields and farms, I feel more powerful than I am. It is a welcome illusion. I do not allow myself to think of Florence, of the growing distance between us. After 4 miles or so of open countryside, the road on which I am driving becomes the main street of Spilling, the nearest small town. There is a market in the middle, and long rows of squat Elizabethan buildings with pastel-coloured fronts on either side. Some of these are shops. Others, I imagine, are the homes of old, rich snobs, bifocal bores who witter on endlessly about Spilling's historical heritage. This is probably unfair of me. Vivian very definitely does not live in Spilling, even though it is her nearest town. When asked where she lives, she says simply, "The Elms," as if her house is a well-known municipality. Waiting at lights, I rummage in my bag for the directions she gave me. Left at the mini roundabout, then first right and look out for the sign. I see it, eventually. Waterfront. Thick, white italic letters on a navy blue background. I turn into the drive, follow it round the square domed building and park in the large car park at the back. The lobby smells of lilies. I notice that there is a tall rectangular vase of them on almost every flat surface. The carpet, navy blue with pink roses, is expensive, the sort that will not look dirty even when it is. People with sports bags walk back and forth, some sweaty, some freshly showered. At reception, I meet a young girl with blonde, spiky hair who is keen to help me. She wears a badge that says, Kerry Lee. I'm glad that I chose the name Florence for my daughter, a real name with a history, rather than something that sounds as if it has been made up by a 15-year-old pop star's marketing team. I was worried that David or Vivian would veto it, but luckily they both liked it too. My name is Alice Fancourt, I say. I'm a new member. I hand over the envelope that contains my details. It strikes me as funny that Kerry Lee has no idea of the significance of this day for me. The meaning of our encounter is completely different in our two minds.
Oh, you're Vivian's daughter-in-law. You've just had a baby. A couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
That's right. Membership of Waterfront is my present from Vivian, or rather, my reward for producing a grandchild. I think it costs about £1,000 a year. Vivian is one of the few people who is as generous as she is rich.
How is Florence? Asks Kerry Lee. Vivian's absolutely besotted with her. It'll be lovely for Felix to have a little sister, won't it?
It is odd to hear Florence referred to in this way. In my mind, she is always first. My first. The first. But she is David's second child. Felix is well known at Waterfront. He spends almost as much time here as at school, taking part in junior golf tournaments, swimming lessons and cheeky chimps play days, while Vivian divides her time between the gym, the pool, the beauty salon and the bar. The arrangement seems to suit them both.
So, are you recovered? Kerry Lee asks. Vivian told us all about the birth. Sounds like you had quite a time of it.
I am slightly taken aback. Yes, it was pretty horrendous. But Florence was fine, which is all that matters, really. Suddenly, I miss my daughter terribly. What am I doing at the reception desk of a health club when I could be getting to know my tiny, beautiful girl? This is the first time we've been apart, I blurt out. It's the first time I've been out of the house since getting back from hospital. It feels really strange. I wouldn't normally confide my feelings in a total stranger, but since Kerry Lee already knows the details of Florence's birth, I decide that it can do no harm.
Big day, then, she says. Vivian said you might be a bit wobbly.
She did? Vivian thinks of everything.
Yes, she said to take you to the bar before we do anything else and give you a large cocktail.
I laugh.
I have to drive home, unfortunately. Though Vivian thinks the more tipsy you are, the more carefully you drive.
Kerry Lee completes the sentence and we both giggle.
So, let's get you onto our system, shall we?
She turns to the computer screen in front of her, fingers poised above the keyboard.
Alice Fancourt, address The Elms, right?
She looks impressed. Most local people know Vivian's home by name, even if they do not know its owner. The Elms was the last home of the Blantyres, a famous Spilling family with royal connections, until the last Blantyre died and Vivian's father bought the property in the 1940s. Yes, I say, at the moment it's the Elms. I picture my flat in Streatham Hill, where I lived until David and I got married. An objective observer would have called it dark and boxy, but I loved it. It was my cosy den, a hideaway where no one could get to me, especially not my more threatening and obsessive patients. After my parents died, it was the one place where I felt I could be myself and express all my loneliness and grief without there being anyone around to judge me. My flat accepted me for the damaged person that I was, in a way the outside world seemed unwilling to. The Elms is too grand to be cosy. The bed David and I share resembles something you might see in a French palace with red rope around it. It is enormous. Four people would fit in it, or possibly five if they were all thin. Vivian calls it God size. Double beds are for gerbils, she says. Florence has a spacious nursery with antique furniture, a window seat and a hand-carved rocking horse that was Vivian's when she was a child. Felix has two rooms, his bedroom and a long, thin playroom in the attic where his toys, books and cuddly bears live. The views from the top floor of the house are breathtaking. On a clear day, you can see as far as Culver Ridge on one side and the church tower at Silsford on the other. The garden is so big that it has been divided into several different gardens, some wild, some tamed, all ideal for pram walks on a warm day. David cannot see any reason to move. When I suggest it, he points out how little we could afford to spend on a house. "Do you really want to give up everything we've got at the Elms for a two-bedroom terrace with no garden?" he says. "And you work in Spilling now. It's convenient for us to live with Mum. You don't want a longer commute, do you?"